As I was sitting over there listening to the singing and all and looking around at the congregation, I thought we are truly blessed. You see, I was here when we didn't have any children, not a one. And now I look out and I see all these beautiful children, and we're blessed that we have those. I also was listening to the singing. Cal, you did a great job. Got a beautiful voice. But I just sat up there and shut up for a while and listened to the singing. Now, I've listened to a lot of choruses, but hey, the singing here could probably match most of the choruses I've listened to. I started some time ago when I was bringing the message to go through Acts. And so I'm going to continue that. I understand we're studying Acts on Wednesday nights, and we're having a lot of good discussion. And if you're not in the class and you're not going to a class, then you need to come to the class, because I think you will learn a lot. Acts is a book of history. It is a book of the Holy Spirit. It is a book of the first century church, and there's a lot of information we can learn from Acts. It's probably my favorite book, as everybody here knows. You know, you Google anything, so I Googled something the other day. I actually Googled how many years it was from the time that Pentecost, the sermon on Pentecost was made, and when Paul was arrested to Rome. Actually, the answer he gave me was from Pentecost to John receiving the revelation. 66 years. 66 years. You know, we read through the scriptures and we read through Acts, and we're just getting portions of it. Okay, so it took 66 years for all of what's in Acts to happen. So as you're going through the scriptures and you're reading the scriptures, we talked last Wednesday before in class that from the time Paul was baptized until the time he went to Jerusalem was 3 years. But in the scriptures, you got one sentence, and then it says he went to Jerusalem. Well, there's a three-year period in there. Okay, and we normally miss that, but if you go to the first chapter of Galatians, I believe it's verse 18, it tells you that information. We are in the fourth chapter of Acts. Prior to this, obviously we know that chapter 1, the Lord returned to heaven, and Matthias was chosen as an apostle. In Acts 2, we read about the Holy Spirit coming on the disciples. Then we have Peter's speech. And as we go forth, and right before this chapter, Peter heals a man who has been unable to walk, I think, since birth. Okay? And so the Jewish leaders call the man in, as well as his mother and father, and ask how this happened. And the parents finally say, well, he's of age. You ask him, because they were afraid that they would be thrown out of the synagogue. But what happens now is that Peter and John are, in fact, arrested. And they're brought before the rulers. In verse 13, it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. These are the same men that had tried Jesus. These are the same men that had had Rome crucify Jesus. So they knew about Jesus. Actually, they thought they had got rid of the problem when they killed Jesus. That's not what happens. In fact, it's gotten worse. When Jesus was on earth, he was the one doing all of the teaching. And now you start off with 120. Now we know the apostles were teaching, but individuals were also teaching. We find that out as we go through. You got Stephen, you got Philip. So you got other people out there spreading the gospel. So they did not get rid of the problem. They got rid of Jesus. But now they have to worry about the apostles and all those others who are taking the gospel out there. And when Jesus was arrested and crucified, the apostles were hiding. And now that Jesus has returned, and now that they have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they are bold. There's not anything going to stop them from preaching the gospel. They just didn't care. You could beat them, and that's going to happen in Acts. But they were going to take the gospel. Now, the apostles are not here anymore, but we're here, and it's our job now to take the gospel. If you've listened to me speak at all, you know that that's an important thing for me. You know, they didn't have television, they had radio, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have anything that, like that, and yet the gospel spread. The first day, there were 3,000 saved. Later on, we read that there are 5,000 saved. Why? What was happening? The individual Christians were taking the message to others. Later on in Acts, you're going to have a verse that says, "And the Lord allowed a persecution to come upon the church." So what happened when the persecution came? They left Jerusalem. Okay? What was important about that? Well, first of all, the gospel wasn't going anywhere except in Jerusalem. But once the persecution came, they left Jerusalem. And when they left Jerusalem, they took the gospel with them. You know, we get the idea that Paul's the only one out there preaching and establishing churches and things like that. That's not true. Okay? The apostles were also out there teaching, and the ordinary Christian was out there teaching. And so the gospel was spreading. We have his missionary journeys, and we see how he is establishing churches and how we have more and more and more Christians. Paul had a specific job that God gave him, and that was to take the message to the Gentiles. That's us. Okay? When it was in Jerusalem, it was being taken to the Jews, not the Gentiles, not the Samaritans, none of those. It would be taken to the Jews only. But God intended all along for the gospel to go to us. So he had to get it out of Jerusalem, and he specifically chose Paul to do that. And you'd say, well, why did you choose Paul? Well, I'm not exactly sure, but got somewhat of an idea. Paul at Rome allowed him to do some things that Peter and the other apostles couldn't do. It allowed him to go certain places. So I think probably the fact that he was a Roman something to do with that. But also the fact that he is very zealous. Before he becomes a Christian, what is he doing? He's persecuting the Christians. He's killing the Christians. We have the story of him holding the coats of Stephen when he was stoned to death. But if you read later on, you find that that's probably not the only person that was stoned because of Paul or killed because of Paul. So, our obligation now is to take the gospel. But in the passage here, the leaders of the Jewish nation are questioning it. How can this happen? And especially questioning the man that has been healed. Now, Peter and John are rebuking or speaking, and they say, how can this happen? They're uneducated men. Well, they weren't too uneducated. Of course, they had something helping them, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you don't have to be or have a PhD or a doctorate in order to take the gospel to somebody. All of you in here, adults, know the gospel. Paul says you should be able to tell somebody why you're a Christian. There's not anybody in here that's an adult that can't do that. Okay, so you don't have to be a preacher and you don't have to be a teacher. Those are not bad things, but that's not required. I've told Echo Hills before, my mother in her 90s told the gospel to her next door neighbor, and he became a Christian. She was just my mother, you know? She wasn't a teacher or a preacher or anything, just my mother. But, you know, and I thought a little while ago, I was truly blessed because I had the mother I had. Okay, because she took me to church. She saw that I was interested in the scriptures. She saw that I got sent to Lipscomb High School. I never have understood where she got the money for that. Okay, she worked at National Life. You know, she didn't make no big salary, but I am appreciative of my mother. Okay, so they're questioning. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in opposition. How can you have opposition if the guy has never been able to walk and now he's up and he's walking around? I mean, there wasn't anything that they could say about that. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men?" They're in a predicament. They don't know what to do. Seeing the man that's been healed, they know he's been healed. They've seen the boldness of Peter and John as they're speaking. Now that brings another thing up to me. Just how bold are you when it comes to the gospel? Who have you taken to the gospel to lately? Anybody? I told you the first century church, it was people that took the gospel. Not just Paul, not just Peter, not just the apostles. It was Christians that took it. Have you been bold enough to take the gospel to somebody? If not, you need to think about that. It might be your neighbor. It might be somebody in your family. I worked on two nieces for years. Okay, I talked to them about the gospel and going to church. I wrote them letters, you know. And guess what? I did a lot of praying too. On a regular basis, they are members of the Lord's body. Took a long time, but I kept at them. And finally, the Lord, I'm sure the Lord kept at them too, that they decided they would be members of the Lord's body. So they send Peter and John out, and then they have a discussion among themselves. What are we going to do? What can we do? For an obvious sign had been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know, they had the same problem with Peter and John that they had with Jesus. The people had seen what happened. You know, they were afraid to arrest Jesus in the daytime because they thought there would be a riot. And now they're probably afraid for the same reason, because the people have seen what Peter and John are doing. And probably this is not the only healing that Peter and John did. It's just the one that we're told about. Okay? So they really don't know what to do. They have no idea. But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name. You think that's going to do any good? Well, if you keep reading, you find out it It makes no difference to Peter and John whatsoever. We're going to threaten them. I don't know what they threatened them with. Probably that they would be flogged or put in prison for a long period of time, something like that. And later on in Acts, they're going to be imprisoned again. In fact, all of the apostles at one time are jailed. And yet it still didn't stop them from spreading the gospel. Now, in the other one, the other story, it's miraculous he let them all out. God lets them or brings them out. And where do they go when they get out? Right back to the temple to start preaching again. Now, that's bold. Have you ever read in the scriptures what Paul went through? How many times he was beaten? I wouldn't want to look at his back. I bet it was a mess. He was beaten I don't know how many times. 39 stripes on several occasions. He was stoned, shipwrecked. He goes through the whole list. And yet, he never quit preaching. Never quit preaching. But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again. So they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Who's ordering this? It's the leaders of the Jewish nation. It's the high priest, probably the high priest's family, the Sanhedrin, which was made up of 70 men. I compare them to our Senate, okay? As far as the Jews were concerned, that was their government, and they were in charge of everything, okay? And it was their job to defend Judaism and to defend the Old Testament and the law, okay? There was more to it than that. They were protecting their position, okay? They were protecting their pocketbook. I think all of those things came into this. They did not want to lose the people because they were leaders. Peter and John answered them. You know, we think of Peter doing all the talking, but it sounds like John did some talking too. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." What they're really saying is, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to you, or are we going to listen to God? And we know who they're going to listen to. They're going to listen to God, and he's correct. He had the answer back there. They're going to listen to God. Now, we should do the same thing. There are occasions when we need to be bold, and we need to listen to God, and we need to go to the Scriptures. Okay? Of course, that means you got to know the Scriptures. So that means you need to study. That means you need to be in the classes that are studying in order to be bold. Whether if it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We are unable to do it. There is no way in the world we cannot do it. After threatening them further, they released them. They found no way to punish them because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done. The people were glorifying God for why? What had been done? The healing. The healing of the men. Where was the healing done? at the temple, at one of the gates of the temple. That man sat in that gate probably every single day. And everybody going in and out of that temple gate saw that man sitting there. So they knew this guy was a beggar, and they knew this guy was unable to walk. And now he is able to walk. The people were all giving glory to God. They weren't giving glory to Peter, and they weren't giving glory to John. They were giving glory to God. I would imagine Peter and John told them the reason that they were able to heal this man was because of Jesus Christ. For the sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. So he's 40 years old, he's never walked, and he has been healed. And I will stop there. And when I preach in another 3 months or so, I will pick up there. You know, I wondered about, since we're studying on Wednesday night, I wondered about even going to Acts. But I talked to the Lord about that, and I decided, yes, I'm going to go ahead and continue. Because we're going through it pretty fast on Wednesday nights, but I'm a slow poke. I like to go verse by verse. Why are we here tonight, or today? Why are we here? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's why we are here. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. However, there's a stipulation there. In order to receive that, you have to believe. You have to believe in Jesus, that he came, and that he died, and that he rose. And probably everyone. Or the Lord's body instead of the church, but either one. But if there is someone who isn't and would like to become a member of the Lord's body, we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward and confess your belief and be baptized. If there are those that have problems in their life that you want us to pray for, then we give you the opportunity to do that as we stand and sing.